Okay, now we're back for our second segment, which is the T3 confidence indicator is turning negative. And I'll just, with respect to this chart here, I'll discuss a number of topics. Of course, you remember that it's that the confidence indicator is a just a ratio between a high yield bond FAGIX, which is Fidelity's Capital and Income, and VUSTX, which is the Vanguard's 20 nominal 20-year Treasury bonds, long term, being about 20 years. And I had remarked earlier that there was a problem with a potential problem that was coming about because on the big chart, looking at the February high and the confidence indicator, and then looking at the recent high, and there's a sloping line that says top yield confidence, that lower top reflects the fact that the high yield bonds, which yield about 6%, are fading in terms of total return relative to the FAGIX 20-year Treasury bonds, and that can be interpreted as a decline in confidence, which and it's a double top pattern technically, which is a reversal pattern, and that's a disturbing element. It basically means that you've been better off since February to be in Treasury bonds than to be in the high yield bonds. The argument can be made that that is not a assuming that the world is in that there aren't any more problems on the horizon than you would normally have, that there's no undue concerns. That can't happen because they know that the yield on FAGIX is always about 2% more than the yield on VUSTX, and no rational person will buy a bond that has 2% yield on the safer treasuries unless they think there's a problem. So the fact that you're assuming that there's a double top, there's a multiple top here forming, means that you can conclude that somebody has decided that they see problems on the horizon. You can anticipate those problems as being the reasons for those problems as being the fact that quantitative easing is it's politically unpalatable now because different people are going out telling them how they're gonna get tough with against inflation, and they're going to try to balance the budget, all of which is probably impossible. But you know that they're saying we got to tighten our belts here, and the people that are at the margin, when they talk about tightening up the belt, it means that they're going to have a problem because the stimulus is going to disappear, and maybe their jobs are going to disappear. But in terms of the FAGIX, which is a low quality bond, the people that issue those bonds can't sell stock because they're not strong enough, and so they may become marginalized by this belt tightening thing, and then the possibilities for default increase. So the possibility for default increases means that the stated 6% yield on the bonds is offset by a component of a default rate, and the default rate may bring that. What they were saying is it's maybe what they got out of the portfolio of bonds is a lot of bonds and FAGIX, but if you have enough of them to default on it, then the real yield is going to be dropped down, and if it gets down to where they think it might be underneath the yield that the treasuries are going to give you, then they start to tilt this confidence indicator over. So the readings here suggest that you are breaking down, and that really is just the double top process here. We have other concerns that would go along with this one, but this is an easy way to do it. Now, I would interpret the topping in the confidence as the prelude to the arrival of what is this shockwave that's coming, you know, but bouncing through in the previous chart, and that is that it's like a tsunami that's in motion now and it's coming. But like a tsunami, there's always a leading indication that the big wave, the big slow lumbering ocean wave is coming, and a seismologist will pick up the echo, the disturbance that comes through the ground much earlier because it travels faster, and I would interpret the topping of confidence here as a preliminary indication that something bad is coming down the way. And it therefore is the leading edge of what's going to arrive on the 27th. In general, if you follow this this is just a daily chart, so you only see a small part. You can turn this into a weekly chart and run it over 12 years if you want to. And you can see a lot of twists and turns going back over the last 11 years. But you get this consistent early indication, but you only get it very shortly before the problem arises to a significant degree in the stock market. So this is really just the warning that the previous charts stuff might be coming. Okay, so that's all I wanted to say about as far as the April 27th date and so forth. So now I'm going to tell you about other things about technical stuff and a new website that we will be opening up in a couple of months. The T3 confidence indicator and the best bond strategy that we have is, of course, part of my business operation. And rather than just discuss this every now and then here, we have decided that we will open up a website that is open to anybody. It has a commercial basis because at the end of the discussion, you can talk to Paul about if you're interested in it. But it's going to become a regular, it's a regular one that's going to be posted at least a month, and it's going to discuss a lot of other things that you have to know about, the tutorials on the, people say, where are your tutorials? Yeah, right, okay. So this new website will give us an opportunity to delve into new things, video presentations, tutorials, and the way we set them up. The first step that we've taken is we look for a domain name, and we have picked bestbondstrategy.com. We own the domain name now, but it's not up and running. However, after we get through this April 27th business, and that's pretty well taken care of, we'll one way or the other, we'll start. I'll start posting some stuff there, and at this site, I will say, there's a new post there, and you get the domain name, and you can go over there, and you can read that material. One of the tutorials that we have to do is the questions on the Keltner bands, because the Keltner bands that you see here are almost the same as in the regular daily chart, which will be our next topic, except they don't have, these have been tightened up for the confidence indicator. But in my daily chart, I have the red line across the top, I have a dotted black line in the middle of the channel, and there is a green bottom prefs zones showing the idea that upside is, you're up, the top thing is dangerous because it's an overbought condition. If you're in a bullish trend, the mid channel is axis support, so you can see when you're coming up here, when you had little corrections in December, and then you had a little correction in the January 24th area in this chart here, you found support along the dotted line, which is along the mid channel. Once you start breaking down on the remember we had a top for mid-February, it was up near the top there. It then broke down into the end of February, it rallied up, and then it continued all the way down to the bottom. Once you break that dotted line in the center of the channel, you're going to end up down at the bottom, usually you're going to end up at the bottom of the plot as far as the channels are concerned. See, so you had a rally that failed, and then you went down and you got to the bottom. Then you started to struggle back up. That's really coming out of the May 16th low, and it comes out, and now it's rolled over. Because this is, I have to point out this is a very sensitive confidence indicator whose general idea is based on the Barron's confidence indicator, which you can get history for 40 or 50 years. However, in the 50 years ago, when they were trying to get the ratios between the high yield, low quality versus the lower yield, higher quality bonds, they took the ratio in interest rates. I don't take the interest rates. It's too slow coming. Okay, I take it right in the total return. That is the price appreciation or depreciation plus the total return off the interest rate. Okay, and it's a very exact, and it's much more sensitive than the Barron's indicator. So that breakdown that we see here is significant. The breakdown, most of that breakdown came on Friday. Remember, on Friday you had the Dow was up 56 points. You had two times as many issues on the upside as on the downside, and so it's a good day. But when you look at the funds, FAGIX, which is in the top of the ratio, was unchanged. So nobody wanted to go near the high yield, lower quality bonds. However, VUSTX, the government bond, was up 1%, which is a pretty good run for a treasury bond. That treasury bond, going up 1%, while the other, well, the top of the bottom of the ratio, the denominator, means that when you divide the one that stayed constant by the one on the bottom that goes up 1%, that you get a 1% drop in the confidence indicator. And you can see up here it says, it gives the numbers, and it says it dropped by so much, and it's minus 1.10%. Okay, that's what it means, is that they had a rally and people bought government bonds, okay, and they didn't buy low quality bonds. They bought high quality bonds, even though the yield was less than that. Okay, now you could all say that that's going to be reversed tomorrow and so forth. But once you break through the middle point, you're going down to the bottom line, or the solid blue line at the lower channel, and you've already got a dependent tops pattern on it, which is a classic reversal pattern technically. Okay, so there's a warning there. And that's really much what I interpret that as. That's like the seismologists coming out and say that we got, there's a big shock out in the ocean there. And usually what happens is there's a big wave coming, okay? And the big wave, it's not here yet, okay? Because it travels slower. But it's already there. Just nobody can see it. Probably can't see it, you know? In the old days, you might have heard the rumble or something like that, but you couldn't see it because there wasn't a satellite up there to see it. Okay, so that's construed as the warning by a very sensitive indicator, like a seismograph, which is picking up a wave that has come back, that has started from the middle of September 1957 and come across the bottom. So you can say, well, you know, who's going to believe a story like that? Well, the answer is because it's the same shock wave that's been deflected off two different bottoms, they have a common origin, so they should have a common effect. And so it's delve into the common cause and effect relationship. It should be comparable when it arrives. Now, to get back to this this website, which is going to be I will probably have a placeholder up. It'll be 1 month, and I'll put a small tutorial on it, and then I'll start adding other stuff to it. And Parker, who works for me full time, will be adding a lot of stuff because he knows how to make the Keltner bands. Okay, he's the expert on Keltner bands. I do, with respect to Keltner bands, I get people send me some charts of their little version of the Keltner bands, and most of them look hideous, okay? Because there's three parameters involved in the Keltner bands, and then unless you're playing around with them, you can't figure them out. If you look at the upper left chart, you see it says there's a dashed line, says FAGUS VUS text daily, okay? Then in blue there's a dash and it says Kelt. Okay, that's Keltner bands, okay? And then it's got a parenthesis, and it's got three parameters. It also has three results, which I'm not sure what they are. But the three parameters that you do, if you go to stockcharts.com and you put in FAGUS colon VUSTX daily, you'll end up with a chart that looks like this, okay? And then if you ask them to add Keltner bands, and the first parameter is 13, then there's a comma. The second parameter is 4.0, then there's another comma. And then the third parameter is 26. You'll get something that looks like this. Okay, that's a good starting point. When I put up the website, we will be having to put Keltner bands around FAGUS by itself, VUSTX by itself, and because the S&P 500 or SPX, $SPX is also a part of the equation, because FAGUS, it's a high yield, low quality bond, but it tends to parallel the S&P 500. In other words, it's like an equity. It's treated like an equity. So we're going to have Keltner bands on the S&P, FAGUS, VUSTX, and the confidence indicator. It's a good place to start doing tutorials on how to set up the Keltner bands. And they turn out, when you do them right, they are really, really quite nice to see, and you can use this crossing at the zero line to tell you that something as important is happening. And I think what you do is you get the tutorial there, and then you can go off and do other things with it. Now, the next chart that I have today is the TLT, which is now TLT. I have to explain just one little odd case in the bottom zones. The big thing you're trying to do when you get into and you're trying to get into charting all of this stuff and making tracking, you know, some sense out of an investment strategy. And of course, the name we picked was bestbondstrategy.com because best bond doesn't refer to a bond; it's a strategy involving relationships between two categories of bonds. So that name was available, and that's the one we picked. So if we look at the best bond chart, which is ETF chart for TLT, the chart is the next chart down below. It's titled the 20-year Treasury bond ETF comparable to VUSTX. In VUSTX, it turns out that if you want to do a historical study on a classic long Treasury bond, VUSTX is the one because Vanguard, in its infinite wisdom, set up an index fund over 20 years ago, and they produced it through the history. However, Fidelity didn't start a long-term Treasury bond fund, which would be comparable to VUS, until last decade, 2005, around 2005, 2006, something like that. So you can't get a ratio out of it. So you have to use VUSTX. Then there's the question of since all Treasury bonds are pretty much the same, they only own Treasury bonds. And they're all U.S. Treasury bonds. The only differential is the what the maturity is, which affects the volatility of the fund. So if you're looking for something that's 20 years, TLT is the one. And it shouldn't be any different than VUSTX, except it's like a little over 20 years, and VUSTX is more like 18 years. So it's a slightly more volatile one. But the plot you see there is pretty much correct. And you can see that in the upper plot, the RSI indicator, you have descending toss pattern that's been broken. There's a little T in there that projects that you're going to keep this going for a couple of more weeks. Anyway, you've got a rising bottoms pattern with a green line here. So you see a breakaway gap on Friday, which explains that this thing should go up for a while. So it should clear out of the 94.54 high, and you should be on your way. That is now. If you were to plot the VUSTX, what you would you should get the same sign of a plot, except for the fact that it's 2 years longer on the maturity angle, which would cause a minor variation. But you only get a closing basis because ETFs trade during the day, and because the ETF trades through the day, volume numbers are available, and because volume numbers are available, you can do Parker's invention of the money flow T. Okay, now in the case of the money flow T's, we already know from our previous study that the money flow T coming out of the previous bottom projected the top correctly. Okay, so if this thing can turn up and you can break above 94.54, we will have the information that will allow us, Parker, to start a money flow T from the 87.49 low in February. And you see what happened is that low, I mean, it's almost mid-February, okay, which is almost mid-February high for the stock market. So when you buy bonds, Treasury bonds, you're basically, in a very conservative way, doing a short sale on the stock market. Because what's bad for bonds is good for stocks. What's good for stocks is bad for bonds, generally speaking. And then the reverse is true. So the fact that you're getting a rising bottoms pattern in the bonds, again, is interpreted as bad for stocks, because why would they bother to do this? The stocks, if the economy is going to do great, what's the problem with this rising bottoms pattern here? Right. Well, they say it's going to flip over and down, but that's covered up by the cash buildup line taken care of, because if you time that out, you've got another 3 weeks to go on that one, and you should be able to break out here. Then you have a bottoms pattern with a W pattern formation on it. So you have one bottom. You have these two bottoms that are separated by almost 2 months, and there's a peak in the middle. So when you come out, you get a W bottom pattern, which is the inverse of the double top pattern, but it's got a tilt on it. Actually, you could take it as a sort of a inverted head and shoulder pattern, because you have to go back to the 89.18 low in December, then the next one in mid-February, and then this one, it's a cyclical progression of bottoms, rounding a bottom to turn up. Okay, and You know what's going to happen is this is 2 months from now somebody's going to say this is why is my faggots or my low quality lum acting so badly? Well, it's the changeover. Okay, it's the whole point. It's the other way you see it from the background process. Now everybody's been beating up on the Fed on the Treasury bonds, and that's because Gross at PIMCO made that statement. But we know what all the Fed at the site we're going to put up. We categorize everybody that's doing Treasury bonds to find out who's doing the right ones. The only people that have a lousy record, on, at least on one Treasury bond fund, is PIMCO. So I don't think they don't really know what they're talking about. But everybody else is popped on the bandwagon, and they're all shorting. He says, you know, there's this fund that's short treasuries, and you can even get a leverage factor of 2, and they're all recommending it. That's why you're getting these breakaway gaps. You get another breakaway gap, you know, it's short covering coming in, and they're all wrong, okay? Because treasury bonds are only at the market. I mean, there are pension companies that will want to own a long-term treasury bond because it covers all their obligations, and there's no ambiguity on it because they own the bond, okay? But there's a rush to buy bonds, and the high-quality bonds rush is they see a problem. And it's the only place you can go, except the alternative to that is gold. Gold has a T that goes up into June. So some people will see the problem coming, and they say, I think I better own some gold. But in the United States, more conservative investors will go for a government guarantee with a dividend yield, as opposed to a gold, say a gold coin or something like that, or a gold bar, that doesn't have any yield on it, and they feel more comfortable on it. So you can kind of figure out that some of the, when the shockwave hits, they don't want equities, but they'll go to two different directions, which are basically different ways of safe. They're both safe havens. Okay. We use this one instead of gold because gold apparently does not falls more like the stock market. But it's okay until you get to June, then it begins to depart. Also, it's a more conservative form. You own treasury bonds and they're guaranteed by the broker and so forth. You don't have a problem with it. Okay, so that's the story. So we're going to put all of this stuff up there, and this gives us a chance to do tutorials. It gives us to put a video, and it's going to become... and I will announce when the site is there. But it's all it is it just focuses on that. It'll be updated like at least a month. And Parker works for me full time. We'll put all this stuff on here. And there will be a tutorial on setting up the Keltner bands, which look to me very, very, very good. If you don't get the parameters pretty close to being right. Okie dokie. So that's the end of this process. And now we'll come back and we'll be talking about the regular daily chart. Thank you.